Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
That was nice. That was Freedom Rider with Traffic, and brings some old school, brings back some memories there. And this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And hope you all are having a beautiful, wherever you are, afternoon. It's lovely in the west side of the City of Angels. Beautiful sunny day, and also beginning of spring, and I hope you all are having a happy, what is it, I guess it's the equinox, and a glorious springtime. And for those who are celebrating Passover, Chag Sameach, happy Passover. And for those who in Iran who are celebrating the New Year's, happy New Year's. Things always begin with new beginnings, don't they? Just to bring up some news updates recently. Probably talked a little bit of the Pope thing last week, but the recent events has inspired. I don't know if you all heard, there's been some steps for some conciliation. It looks like Israel took the higher end of, even though Turkey's been the talking lower end. Sometimes, you know, when two people have to, sometimes someone has to take the higher road. And apparently Israel took the higher road. You know, sometimes you say sorry to somebody even though you don't really, you shouldn't have to say sorry. So they did. And unfortunately, hopefully with IMPAS, and I always question their agendas, but at least that's a big improvement. Maybe with the impetus of what Obama was doing over there may have helped. You know, I have questions of a lot of the agendas and stuff like that, but at I always look at if two people can shake hands, that's actually a lot better than two people sticking knives or guns or bullets at each other, right? Hope's efforts step up. Unfortunately, I do see a major calamity still within Syria. And I do see, fortunately, the sectarian violence is going to spread between Shiites and Sunnis in a very major way, unfortunately, in Lebanon. Excuse me one second. There's one big truck drives by. But we'll see what happens. Sometimes when I see things and what they are, it's at the particular time, and people have choices too to change those, but sometimes things are meant to be, and unfortunately that's sort of lessons learned, as they say. Now, Speaking of going back to talking about Passover, I wanted to bring this up, and that's what this show is about. And when people ask about slavery, and we were slaves, and we become free, and this concerns a lot of different peoples, whether it was the Israelites, African Americans, Native Americans, you know, people at large. Even today, people do not recognize and the situation within Europe and around the world of modern day slavery that still goes on today. You know, where there's sex trafficking and sex slave trafficking worldwide with women and children, which is absolutely disgusting. My lying thing is, if there was to be implication and imposing a capital punishment, I would apply it there, straight up. I mean, that sounds pretty drastic, but I think certain things like that, it's enough. And anyway, and I think too many things have been cover-ups. If you look into the past, by the way, of slavery, and this is where I deem the United Nations purely bullshit, is their major cover-ups of their sexual slavery and their cover-ups and their involvement in Europe. And that's been well documented, both in Europe as well as in Africa. Anyway, getting back to the subject of today, and I want to get into this very much. So, even as a kid, I looked at Passover as like a special holiday, maybe because I'm born near that holiday. I don't know why or growing up to it, but there was some connotation. And I know, you know, everybody pretty much probably knows the story of Passover being the people of Israel being emancipated from slavery. We know how the Israelites were slave and then became free. But this holiday actually has a very deep metaphysical aspects toward it. That's why I feel it's a really important holiday. And then when I do talk about it, I have Seder with my family and friends, I get into a more metaphysical approach to it because I do see it in that way. If you look on it, it's very much in the way even the Buddhist and the Taoist would look at it, and even in Hindu. But it does have a very, Sufi Islam would look at it. It has a very deep understanding of where metaphysically how we are in many attributes. And like I said, it has a deep esoteric understanding from within this holiday that unfortunately many rabbis, ministers, and priests and imams seem to lose its most profound meanings or understandings. I'm not here to profess that you should do this holiday. I'm just showing you the context of why I feel it's very important. And when I talk certain things, it'll relate to you more or less what our lives are and what our journey is. It's not a coincidence that Jesus used this holiday as his Last Supper. There's a more profound meaning why that was. Passover, like I said, has a very, very spiritual as well as pragmatic wisdom held within it and understanding that applies not only to Jews who celebrate the holiday, but all humanity at large, no matter what your faith, belief, or path. I mean, simply looking and the reasoning to look, things have symbolizations within the course of the holiday. For example, the eating of matzah or unleavened bread or leavened bread, which is the puffing of bread. And if you think of it, it's actually the symbol of our ego. That's actually what the context of it is. If you eat bread, your brain, you're all puffed up. You think at yourself, you're looking at your alter ego. You know, your vanity, selfishness, narcissistic kind of views, feeding ego, desires, the pleasures of desires. You know, that's the puffiness. When you flatten down the bread, being unleavened, it's bringing down the ego to your true self, the true divine within you, without your alter ego being involved. That's pretty much the symbolism behind that. In fact, that is actually expressed within, fortunately, with many rabbis within it, usually hold within it, or hopefully they do. But that's actually the symbol behind that, and that's usually a common understanding of it. And it is has a relationship to a deepest spirituality. And yet I will explain to you that Passover is about a journey. It's about our journey in life. It's not, it's both individual and humanity at large. Within the very essence of Passover, it provides opportunity to what? Our courage, our encouragement through life's assumed limitations or slavery. In fact, Egypt in Hebrew is called Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim means literally to confine oneself, to be limited. So the people of Israel lived in the confinement. So our slavery to our was feeling, and originally why they went to Israel is for comfort. Remember, they are starving. They went to live in Egypt. So we're drawn to comfort. And they, by doing so, they got drawn into being confined. They allowed themselves to be left from their spiritual nature into confining nature. They started going to things they think I need to be taken care of. We look at in our society, our conference, and we apply these same conferences that become our own limitations. Think about it. We can make things what we thought was our freedom become our limitations. Our conference. All our conference become our limitations. How we set up our rooms, our homes, we become more compulsive to keep those things. They become our own slaveries in our own mind. And they become our own limitations. So again, it's about our courage and our encouragement through life's assumed limitations. It's about our slavery to our own emancipation and real freedom of these assumed limitations through our blessed opportunities of encouragements. The encouragements is our opportunities and recognitions of these situations to go out. So we tend to go back to limitation and back out. So in a way, we can look at our bodies. Our souls come into these bodies in a limited form, and then we come back out going the reverse. The same thing as our true spirit, our true self is without limitation. Our ego is a square with limitation. You'll often see even within the Chinese coin, you'll see a circle and a square within it, and that's also talking about the same thing. It's how the spirit is circular, which is the true nature of the universe, where there's no limitation, while the square having limitation, which is the ego, so or personality. So it happens to be that the fact, the reality is, it's the soul that happens to have a ego or personality, as opposed to the ego or personality that happens to have a spirit. So anyway, every year we take this opportunity to understand this, and yet we always have to realize and we take these opportunities to change the events, to realize first ourselves from the slavery of karma, of attachments. We have old negative patterns and old negative thoughts, our limited belief systems to a greater awareness or awakenings or beginnings with bracing the great loving of self and feeling of becoming even aware of our true selves. Excuse me one moment. I do have one thing to bring. Apologize. There's one thing I wanted to bring, and I was going to read it off to you sometime during the course. And it had some great words, and I'll read it down to you in a later time in this, but I just forgot to put it with me before the show. One of those days, right? Anyway, and I felt it was really quite imperative to bring this out to with its understanding and stuff. So sorry for that quick little delay. Let me get back to where I was. When we look at things in our karmic patterns and what we do, the first thing is simply, I'm aware of it, right? And awareness is actually the process of continually being awakened. Our awakening begins with embracing of the greater living of self, feeling and becoming of our ever aware of our true selves. So that's an initial awareness. Now, here's another interesting symbolization. There you'll hear cups, even in Passover, how the first cup. The first cup actually is being awareness. So it's being aware. I'm aware of things. I have awareness that holds no blame. And because blame, the blame game, as I say, is a pretty much lame game, right? We tend to have blame things. We blame events on others. We blame things on our own situations or people who are like whatever. So blame God or blame this or blame that. They never take responsibility for their own actions or become inclusive or choices. We all make choices. Even when we get in this body, unfortunately, that's a choice. A lot of our paths are choice. And this is, sounds very harsh, but it is a reality. This is a part of becoming aware. And you can't blame. You have to accept. What happens within our governments, our society at whole, we are one humanity. So intense things that happen within our humanity, we ourselves to blame at large. So if you want to blame anything, you have to blame ourselves for not taking responsibility. If you have bankers or people and situations and financial situations and our monetary system and da-da-da-da-da and your healthcare and the expenses and whatever you can go, I can go on all the problems in our economics, those without jobs and things like that, those without healthcare, all these are our problem. We are to blame, if anything. We need to take responsibility. And the first awareness is to recognize that. Don't blame, but take responsibility and start making choices. And this holds, by the way, the limitation of illusion of a finite presence, by the way. This takes another esteem awareness. When we assume things to be in limitation, we've created this finite presence, which actually is not real. So that's once we become awareness of that, it takes a new awareness of understanding. So we're becoming aware of freedoms, and when you remove the finite chains, the finite illusions, like, I'll give you an example, it's like when you have fish, and they're inside an aquarium, and you stick a plate of glass in between it, and they assume there's like a limitation, right, and you move that plate of glass, they still assume with an illusion that they've been there's a limited finite presence. And this is often because we see things, we hear things, we think, we assume that's it. And reality is beyond that, as we know. There's atoms and energy and space and keeps on going on and on, right? In reality, you physically, me physically, every human being physically is 99.9% space. Fact is, we have electrons spinning around us millions upon millions per second. In fact, we are purely energy. As you know, if you could throw us in a ball and light us up, we would actually produce energy, unfortunately, or exchange of energy, because energy is just converting one energy to form another. And that's just on the physical form. I'm not even talking the spiritual form, because in everything, there's no limitations. So energy, in fact, is unlimited. Your soul is unlimited. We are verbs. I've often said that. So you to recognize that we are not a finite presence is absolutely important. So instead, we are become increasingly aware of the meaning of ourselves without the alter ego, and rather learn to the loving soul that we truly are. We should be aware that we are gracious and aware of our universe and our elements, and all that we are all in fact one. So, I will ask you all, and I will repeat this, a moment of silence for all those around you, and of course within yourself. And I say this, and you can say this and repeat this to yourselves. It's a moment of silence for a second. we are aware and will become aware, increasingly aware of all where we are. For we are in the moment. This night is different from all other nights. This day is different from all other days. Why? The world feels different. You are becoming increasingly aware of its changing, yet all just is. The colors, the shapes, and the textures held within the prism of the universe is brighter, deeper, yet more alluring. You feel the very joy for being in the moment that is. You feel the energy of all within you, all about you, all with your immediate community. And within the prism of souls on earth, all inhabitants held within the prism of earth, you feel all energy within every aspect, every essence of all matter elements and all unseen, all unheard, and all unfelt. You feel the very joy. The sensation of is your perception. You are indeed a leaf with your perspective on this tree of life, which has multiple of souls, connecting each by the branches which hold and connect to the common trunk, which is root in the same common root, which connected and nourished by the same common ground. It is our very awareness that is all required. It is the awareness that becomes the truth. It is the awareness that removes and dissolves the illusion of limitation. Humanity is the master of illusions. One of the most negative is limitation. We become free, and yet we enslave ourselves with limitations. Thus, in fact, we create this ongoing cycle of freedom, enslavement, back to freedom, back to enslavement. Thus, we creating our never-ending cycle of karma. Our awareness is just the beginning of dissolving this continued cycle of freedom, slavery, back to freedom, and then back to slavery. Thus, the first cup we have, as I said, in Passover is called awareness. Awareness of what? Awareness of ourselves, our universe. Awareness is the very first step towards this change, the first step toward enlightenment, the first step toward the light. It is your step of being who you are is you. It is aware of our manufactured limitations, the slavery of nonsense subjected to us from generation to generation, the awareness that infinity is the reality, the truth, and not the infinite of the manipulated limitation. We were never born to be slaves. Our souls are free before the doctor smacked your ass to the first crying breath to your last dying days. You have always been free. You simply are not aware of it and choose not to. We are awakened to our own awareness. We are aware that we are the ones who hold our own keys to freedom. The keys have always been there and will always be there because we are aware that the doors of our connection to all the universe and God have and will always be given to us. No cleric, no rabbi, no priest, no minister, no pastor, no imam, no mullah, no pope, no one holds your freedom of thought of you. You do. They, the clerics, have often limited you by their ways of fear and guilt. These are the masters of slavery. These are the masters of illusion of limitation. You do not have to be brought on upon that. They are your masters. They are your Egypt. Don't do this. Don't do that. The fear of God is a slavery. It is manufactured illusion of the worst kind. The universe is free, absolutely free. You are free. Your soul is free. This is the absolute awareness. We also trap ourselves by holding on to illusions of fear. We also hold on to the anger, another enslavement. All attached karma like anger are chains of slavery that hold us down. They make you feel enslaved because you are ingrained to assume their importance when in reality they are so trivial nonsense. We enslave ourselves by living in the past, or by just living, trying to do things in the future, never, ever being in the moment. Our awareness of this is the first step. We imprison ourselves by caring what others think. And so I say, I'll read this from a thing. That's why I had to run over and get, because I thought it was extremely important. Like the Jews in Egypt, or the Israelites in Egypt, they are not simply enslaved by others, but by an external taskmaster. It is not just a Pharaoh outside who keeps us to bondage. We carry our Pharaoh within ourselves. We keep our Pharaoh stuck with limiting thoughts like, I can't, I'm not good enough, I'm not yet ready, I don't deserve better. And yet we still trap ourselves by holding on to fear and anger and unwillingness to forgive. We confine ourselves by living in the past or the future and never fully experiencing the present. And we imprison ourselves by acting according to what others may think, what we should think. We bind ourselves by being too quick to blame others for our perceived misfortunes. We limit ourselves by hardening our hearts in jealousy and judgment. We deny ourselves to the freedom and the freedom to be ourselves through pretense, by pretending things are okay when they are not, by pretending that we are feeling alive when we are not. We are all slaves, and we are all enslavers. Only we can set ourselves free. And I may repeat this again, just to reiterate. Only we can set ourselves free. No Buddha, no Mahdi, no Messiah, no Christ, no Bahana, no one but ourselves can set ourselves free. And once you have recognition, the awareness, the very first step, then it becomes blessing of reverence, thank you, the opportunity, yet. You are a blessing. Your very existence is a blessing. Yet blessing is the simple fact that you're aware. The blessing is you are simply becoming more awakened. Your effort is to becoming is the blessing in itself. The simple feeling of love is a blessing. Loving God, the universe, is a blessing. Loving Earth is a blessing. Loving all that exists on Earth is a blessing. Loving all souls unconditionally is a blessing. Loving yourself is a blessing. The unconditional love, the awareness that we are all connected, the awareness that we are simply leaves with different views on this tree, on this tree of life, connected to the same common root, the same root, which is nourishing the same Earth, the same nurturing ground, is a blessing. It is a blessing when you are aware that the universe is infinite and aware of this truth. It is a blessing when you are aware the direction is healing to increasing your frequency, healing yourself, removing all karma and attachments. That this is the simple direction. The simple direction is blessing. When you're aware of what? This is the blessing. It is the blessing. And this would be the second cup you would drink on Passover, the blessing. And then there's one they call the choice, the choice, the third cup of choice. Why is choice so important? We choose things. We choose our very past. We co-create it constantly. Your very thought, the minute you're looking at this and listening to me, you have made a choice. You had a choice to make a step. Your choice to wake up. You chose to go to this body. Everything is about choice. You choose not to choose, this is choose. We choose the parents. We are constantly choosing. We choose the very past that we encumber in this lifetime and all lifetimes. Yes, we choose. By this choice, we take responsibility to the reactions of the actions of the past called karma. It's our contract. When you recognize this, that's the awareness part. We've recognized it. The recognition of it. That's our awareness. But we always choose, and we choose even not to choose. We can choose to not to be aware, too. We can choose not to heal. We can choose to be ignorant. We can choose not to choose. We can choose not to accept our responsibility, but then that is a choice as well, right? So in fact, we always choose. All things are a choice. We always choose. We can choose and endure the manufactured limitations. Thus, we choose to be slaves. We choose to embrace the reality that we can choose the reality that we are actually can be free. In fact, we are free.
We always are free.
Yet, like I said, you can choose to be free. We can choose to love. We can choose to be compassionate. We can choose to be aware of our universe and us. We can choose to become better than we are. We can choose the path to heal, to love, to learn. We are choosing every moment when we think a single thought. We are constantly manifesting. We are constantly choosing. Just as Buddha once said, we are what we are by what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. And like Jenny St. Clair once said, thoughts are things. And like another one said, like a lot is we can choose to be ignorant, or we can choose to be not to be ignorant, or we can choose to ignore. Ignorant really comes from the word ignore. So Thomas Paine once said, reason obeys itself and ignorance submits to whatever is dictated. Think about it. We can choose. We can choose. God is within us. We don't need anyone else to make that divine connection for us. We can choose because we are aware and always have been free to make choices on our own, that we must take our personal responsibility for our actions. We can choose the truth of unconditional love. We can choose the truth that there is no hell, no judgment, no angry, and separation, that we are unconditionally loved by the universe. We can choose that we are free to choose our own path to God. We can choose all our things. We can choose and recognize our path, our spirituality, as we go is through the path of light. We can choose that. We can choose also to be awareness that God is within us all. We can choose these things. We can choose that we are blessed. We can choose we are. We can choose our spiritual quests that are ultimately in by our own reuniting source. We can choose this free, be free. We can choose that we are free to express. We can choose the reality of unconditional love for all. We can choose to love one another unconditionally and always honor the rights and choices of others. We can choose to have faith in ourselves, and we can choose to find all the answers. That we can find them by going within and perhaps searching for the universal truths, and our hearts will tell us when we have found them. We all choose. As a children, for some uncanny reason, I was always, like I said, drawn to this special holiday. It's amazing, isn't it? This is what it's about. This is the metaphysical essence of it. So I'm just for Jews. I don't have to look at it. Just look at it from a metaphysical side. Maybe that's why I had an affinity for it. Somebody said. So. It's amazing, isn't it? Choose what you can do. Integrity, choice, being awareness, being blessed. And those are the three cups. And then there's one called the deed. This is actually the fourth cup. Deed. It relates to integrity, deed, doing the deed. What's the deed? Go walk the talk, heal yourself. Your very thoughts are deeds. Merit. Doing something good for somebody else without your ego involved with it. Deed. A good deed. These are the four cups. You are the awareness, you are the blessing, you are the choice. Now the deed. And I'll read again. I think I have to express myself into the essence of it. But a deed, let me explain to you before I get into the other, reiterate what I had just said. The deed refers to when you do something good. And that's also by choice. When we look at from karma and the karmic circle, why the deed is put in there is because it is a key to help undo our past karma. How does a deed remove our past karma? When you do a good deed, let's say a deed by giving something. This is what in Hebrew they call tzedakah, like giving something holy. You know, money would be like helping somebody, donation. That would be like giving something. Knowledge would be meritus, even beyond a bit greater deed. The greatest deed, they always say, is doing something for somebody without them ever being aware of who helped them. That's because your ego is not involved. And once you do that, what does that do? It creates blessing, which what that does, it creates you to a greater awareness. So it creates a cycle. It's just what I was talking about. Awareness, you made a choice, awareness, and it becomes blessing, and you do a good deed, and then you become aware again, and then you make a choice. It's a blessing, a deed. See the cycle? So it's telling you what's going on. And this is where it comes to being what I was talking about, being free in our limitations and the constant cycle of attachments. And I'm going to expand upon that. When we look at our slavery issues, our limitations, think about it, what things we're slaved on. But even our technology has thought of to help free us, but look how much we are attached to it. At one time, did you think everybody had cell phones, running on cell phones? They certainly survived without the cell phones, right? And yet nowadays, you have to have a cell phone. I'm on a computer. One day, they didn't have computers, and people certainly survived, right? But we thought they'd make us greater freedom, but now we've turned our own things to necessary limitations. Like, oh my God, what would happen if the computer was down? What would happen if my cell phone was down, right? Now we have to do texting. I mean, I remember for a while when texting, all my friends were texting, and I refused. I was holding back from texting. I called it like a modern day telegraph system, because it really is. You think about it, texting is just being like we're like back in the 1800s doing telegraph. And it was implied to use the texting just to give quick messages. But today, you know, boyfriend's girlfriend or whatever your sexual orientation to your lover, you're sending, or potential lover, are sending texts back and forth. And those become even miscommunicated because those are limited, right? Limited. And we're sending messages across here and there. Everything's through these little messages. And look how we find ourselves at a necessary, like almost compulsiveness, needing it. We even have to have laws telling a person not to text while they drive. Look at how they've gone from freedom to slavery to something. They become slaves to their own technology. We become slaves to our own things. We have things that we think we have to have. We went from freedom back to slavery. These are just the physical attachments. I'm just talking physical and technological attachments that we have in society that we've turned ourselves into. They've actually made us go from freedom and back to slaves again. I mean, we have Facebook. I like Facebook because it actually spread out. I contact people from all around the world and actually met a lot of people and things somehow, you know, we meet somebody who has even better communication sometimes instead of just doing texting or calling, and it helps internationally. Of course, now we have Vonage, and you can call anywhere around the world from Skype, and we have technology that. How much, though, as this is coming, allows us our freedom, if we utilize it for our freedom, but when we make it a limitation, when we make it a necessary thing, a compulsive need, this is what, like Buddha would say, the compulsive desire, that's when it becomes a problem. That's when it becomes our slave, our chain. I remember I had some, when I lived in Las Vegas, I had friends of mine who are African American, and they were sort of weirded out when I said to them, you have slave mentality. And they asked me why. They were like shocked when I told them that. And the reason why is they were so caught up in having, you know, bling, having chains and having gold and material things that they would do anything. They were like a little hustling. And I know I'm judging, but that's what they're hustling for money and this and that. I'm getting to the specifics. But they're constantly trying to hustle. And they're trying to having, you know, to fix their car and this and that. And it was things. And I even told them the chains that were on their necks were really like slavery chains. You have a mentality of a slave. And they were shocked. I says, how much you being free, you actually went backward. You became slave to things. That's slavery. Those are the what they call, that's just one form of physical attachments. That's slavery. The other slavery, which nobody really gets into, but it is actual, is when we go through attachments for people and situations. And this is really quite common. You'll see a cycle that goes on and never ends and never ends and never ends and never ends. You'll see people who, a person who, let's say they were in a relationship and could be ex-husband, ex-wife, ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, whatever, and they're angry with them. And they will hold that anger toward that boyfriend or girlfriend or ex-husband or ex-wife or whatever. And they'll never let go. And they held that anger and anger and anger and anger. It becomes an attachment. They never move on. When they're always asking, hey, what's he thinking now? When they have anger, when they want revenge, and when they want things to have a negative toward the person, they're creating a karmic attachment. Meaning that they're still slaves. And then they often wonder, gee, oh, how come my life is real fucked up, and how come I'm not being made? Hello. Because you're still on that vicious cycle. You're still a slave. You're not free. You've chosen to be a slave again. Let go, and you become free. Let go of that karmic attachment, you become free. Or you become a reality that you are have always been free. You remove that illusionary chain. Karma can be anger with relatives, anger with situations, or anger over situations. Perhaps something viciously happened to you as a child. You were molested, you were raped. That becomes an attachment. How you release that makes you free. It removes those chains, removes that slavery mentality. How much time do people go through therapies and mental things and take pills and anxiety? And if you come to a reality of it, it's all an illusion. It doesn't mean diddly shit. Really, it doesn't. And it's amazing you'll find these things and people who are living really, I find amazing, people who live like in America, living quite comfortably. They have a roof over their head, food to eat. And I often say to them, wow, you got things going for you. Why you have the anxiety? Why do you have this fear and all this stuff? You can be living in a place like Somalia, a place in Africa, where you're getting food, or a place where there's shooting and killing and murder and war and on and on and on. You're fortunate. Or even further, you have two eyes, you have two hands, you have feet. You're fortunate. That's part of having appreciation, part of being blessing, part of reverence, being thankful. That's part of releasing karma, as I just mentioned. See, those are the very things. We make things of slavery. I'm just talking things now. Things. I went from things, and now I'm talking about karma. Karma of slaves. We have things or situations, we make karmic events out of them. Like I said, we make things like our events. And we put blames. It becomes, we have the us versus them mentality, Republicans versus Democrats versus Republicans. liberals versus conservatives. So we that in itself creates a new slavery, a new limitation. Us versus them mentality, another slave mentality. It's a slave. When we choose to, you know, black versus white, Muslim versus Jew, or Muslim versus Christian, or whatever, Shiite versus Sunni, Hindu versus Muslim, that is slavery mentality. You're a slave. You're choosing to be a slave. You're always free. That's the reality, but you're choosing to hate. Once you go to the hate, hate is lowering your frequency and you're going, choosing your limitation. You're choosing to be limited. When you look at things separately, look into vision, those are limited. That is the Mitzrayim. That is the what the biblical Egypt. Mitzri, to hold, to limit, be unfree. When you look for things of comfort, yes, there are things that are bringing us freedom and doing things, but if we utilize them and become compulsive, they become our new chains, our new slavery. I'm talking now the things that we see and do, our technology, our relationship things, and the events that we've had, and even in this lifetime, we've turned those things into slavery, but we can remove those. I just discussed how we can remove those. And of course, there's the spiritual connotations of things, which I said about karmically, and the ego, and the relationship, how they play into making us slaves again. We are free, and we become slaves. The limitations within our bodies, having desires, the things that we see, feel, it's how we utilize those. Yes, they're good for us because we can use and enjoy being the experience of a human. That's freedom. But when we become compulsive of it, that becomes our limitation. When we're compulsive, we need those drugs. Also, we need that drink. Compulsive to taste that sweet cake or chocolate. That compulsive to eat that thing. When we're compulsively have to have something, that becomes our slavery. And those are things we need to work on. Those are things that give the opportunity for changing. In the reality, we're all connected, aren't we? When we don't look at ourselves as our connection, we become slaves to each other, slaves of the situation. When we blame the systems, we become slaves to that ideology. There is no really difference between socialism and capitalism. I've mentioned this before. Just changing of ownership. Take from part one bit system, but you just have new owners. Because it's a different form. We haven't really fixed it. We have to fix ourselves. I often say to fix things comes from spirit. You fix your spirit, then the spirit is fixed, then the mental will be fixed, and then the physical is fixed. You can never fix things from the physical without fixing the mental, without fixing the spiritual. It goes that way. It goes from spirit, my nose is stuffy a little bit, from spirit to mental to physical. So I'm going to reiterate and repeat this because I think it's really important. Because this is a part of the awareness. And I'm going to hold this cup. By the way, there's a important reference why these cups have four. Four represents the world. There's four things. Four is a very important number in Kabbalism, but I'm not getting into that today. But the first thing is being aware. So for to me today, for the very beginning, I say there's first awareness. Awareness. Then there's blessing and choice and deed. Remember, awareness, blessing, choice, deed. So So this cup I hold in my hand, it's actually a coffee cup, but with this cup of awareness, I call it, awareness is always the first step to true change. It is the process of awakening. And we seek to be awakened to the awareness that hold the keys to our slavery and our freedom. And we seek to remember the world reflects our own beliefs and back to us. Don't allow your belief system be your enslavement. Don't allow, whether it's the clerics of Islam or clerics of Judaism, the clerics of Christianity or clerics of Catholicism, the clerics of Buddhism or Taoism, any ism, Hinduism, don't let them limit you. That's a slavery. That's the enslavement. That's the limitation. You are your own master. Remember, the world flex our beliefs back to us. And like the Israelites in Egypt, we are not simply enslaved by others, but by external masters. It is the Pharaoh, not the Pharaoh outside, who keeps us in bondage. It is we who carry the Pharaoh, the enslaver, the taskmaster within us. We keep ourselves stuck with limiting thoughts like, I can't. I'm not good enough. Oh, poor pity me. I'm not ready yet. I don't deserve better. We trap ourselves by holding on to fear. Fear. Oh my God, what's going to happen tomorrow? Oh my God, they're going to take our Social Security. Oh my God, there's shootings. They should take our guns. They should take our freedoms. We need to feel comfortable. So take our civil rights. Take our Patriot Act. Put the Patriot Act in force. Fear. Anger. We need to hate them because they're different. They're different. Anger. They killed me. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them. They're going to kill me. Anger. Anger toward your relatives, your friends, your ex-lovers, your neighbors. You. Those are enslavements. Slavery. The unwillingness to forgive and let go. Slaves. We confine ourselves by living in the past or only worrying about the future and never really truly experience the present. We imprison ourselves by acting according to what others think. Oh my God, what are they going to think of me? Oh my God, how I should act? That's being enslaved. We must learn also, like I said earlier, just a second ago, about the past and future orientation. You learn from the past. You have a direction in the future, but you live in the moment. It's all about the journey. We bind ourselves by being too quick to blame others for our perceived misfortunes. Another slavery mentality. We limit ourselves by hardening our hearts in jealousy and judgment. And we deny ourselves the freedom to be ourselves through pretense, by pretending things are okay when they truly aren't. Pretending that we are feeling alive when we are not. Isn't this the day-to-day things, even with the United States and Europe, in the Middle East, in Africa, in Asia? We are slaves, but we are the enslavers. Look how they do totalitarianism within China and Iran and Venezuela and many of the countries in the Middle East. Those are one form of totalitarianism. And then we have the others, like in the UK. We do have essentially a police state there. Do you have the real right to freely say what you want? In the United States, you're getting limited too. You are trying, they're slowly trying to take our rights away. Why? But it's your choice. You are allowing it. You're allowing to be enslaved. So this is what I say at this moment. And this is like they say in Passover, let my people go. I say, let ourselves be go. We keep ourselves in Egypt. When we let go, without doubt and fear we firmly grasp, will we let go? Deep within us, slaves and pharaohs keep us bound. Till we awake up and make the choice to go. It's to ourselves we need to say, let my people go. The choice is ours to stay and go, or to stay to be slavery, or to let go and move on. And after that, it's blessing. After that, it is choice. And after that, it is the good deed. And like I said, it's all up to you to make that choice of freedom. It's all about you, me, doing the right thing. We are free. We are free. Yes, we are free. And I want to thank you all for listening. God bless you all. I'm going to close with a very special song. I'm sure you've heard it. Joni Mitchell. Taxi. It's one of my favorite songs. I bring up stuff from when I was a kid listening to, I guess, going back to Yellow Brick Road here. But this is called The Big Yellow Taxi, Joni Mitchell. God bless her soul. She's great. I haven't heard her in a long-ass time. And I want to wish you all a glorious spring and a glorious weekend. And thank you for listening in. God bless you all. And I close with Joni Mitchell and The Big Yellow Taxi. Have a glorious weekend. Thanks.
Hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It ain't paradise, put up a parking lot. Took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. You pay paradise, put up a parking lot. Pay farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on the apples, early me the birds and the bees. Please don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Pay paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam. And a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? The pay paradise, put up a parking lot. Don't know what you've got till it's gone. We paint paradise, put up a parking lot. We paint paradise, put up a parking lot. We paint paradise, put up a parking lot.
1 2 3 4 Thank you, and God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. Thanks.